Please join me in this litany of hope. We shall see a new heaven and a new earth, for the old will pass away.
We shall see a new Jerusalem, the holy city descending from heaven.
The city shall need no sun or moon, for God's glory will be its light.
For God's lamb will be its lamp. And by its light the nations shall walk.
We shall hear a loud voice from the throne.
Behold, God's dwelling is with mortals. Indeed, God will dwell with them, and they will be God's people.
God shall wipe away all our tears, and there shall be no more death.
Behold, mourning, crying, and pain shall cease, for all former things will pass away.
Behold, I make all things new.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Our Lord testifies to these things.
Behold, I am coming soon.
The grace of the Lord is with us.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Please stand and sing with us, Great is the Lord.
Remain standing as we firmly plant our feet on the ground of our faith, proclaiming together an affirmation of faith taken from the book of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
No, in all things we are more than conquerors. Through the one who loved us, we are sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor past to come,
nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Glory be to the Father.
Are there any children or childlike young folks feeling young on the inside want to come sit on the steps with me? No, okay, it's all right. As we come now to our time of sharing, I want us to remember Dawn Hood and remember these people who have suffered from the wake of this hurricane. It was just incredible watching on TV how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were without power, seeing the pictures of Mexico Beach and places in the panhandle, and, you know, let's just join all the folks who are praying for those people who are trying to, you know, just find their bearings after dealing with such a horrific storm. Also, a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry, I stopped watching the news, but it's Indonesia, I think, there was a tsunami. Yeah, so let's remember to pray for those folks as well. What are your prayer requests and praises this morning? Okay. Thank you. Little Bailey is 8 years old, and this little boy, how old is he, this little boy in South Carolina? Oh, that's just not right. Other prayer concerns, requests? And this is your granddaughter? Oh my goodness. Charlotte. The Lord our God searches us and knows us, knows the thoughts of our hearts and minds. May God meet us where we are in this time of prayer. Let us pray. God of mercy, have mercy on us and on those that we've lifted up out loud this morning. on those things that stir in our hearts and minds silently. God, we know from the Bible and the history of your interactions with your people that you desire good. You desire life and life abundant. And it is not your will that children suffer, that parents bury children. That storms command devastation and death. And so, God, we lift up this little boy, this baby who's dying, and dare to ask for a miracle and ask for your blessing and your mercy on him and on his parents. Comfort them. Pray for them with your Holy Spirit that intercedes when they can't pray for themselves and for their little one. And we lift up Bailey to you and again ask for healing. We come to you boldly, Lord, and pray that you will bring healing to her little brain and that this is not cancer or a tumor, but that you be with her and her family. Be with the doctors and nurses in Nashville who tend to her and give them extra wisdom and insight and compassion. We pray for little Charlotte and ask that your Holy Spirit break this fever and restore her to full health and wholeness. We lift up Dawn and ask your blessings on her. And we lift up those who are suffering in the aftermath of this hurricane and the tsunami. We ask that you have mercy, Lord, on your people everywhere. And in the midst of these storms in life, oh God, I ask you to keep us focused on hope. Not just any wishy hope, but hope that is grounded firmly in you and in the life and death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that you are a God of hope. And I ask that you keep whispering and announcing that in our ears and into our lives. Speak hope into us and into everyone for whom we've prayed this morning. I ask in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I've been reminding you all each week that as Methodists, we're a connectional church, and so that the offerings that we give here in Rockwood help the United Methodist Church Committee on Relief be the first present in places like Mexico Beach and Indonesia. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts. Multiply them to bring your hope to your people everywhere. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Thank you.
from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please remain standing and sing with us number 405, Seek You First.
If it had not been
Would you introduce our special guest, Clayton?
Yes, yes. Soloist is a colleague of mine from her own state. Her name is Olivia Parker. She sings soprano in the concert choir and celebration singers, and we've traveled to Italy and London together. And yeah, thanks. She's a good friend of mine.
Thank you. Thanks for being here this morning. That was a blessing, as it is every week, choir. Y'all are sounding amazing, don't you think? One of the scriptures got accidentally left out this morning. There are two scriptures each week for this series that we're doing on hope. The first one that we're doing every week is from the prophet Jeremiah. It's chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, and this is from the New International Version of the Bible. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Thanks be to God for this awesome word. Why are we doing a series on hope? Well, if you listen to the news or the prayer requests, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded that I serve a God that is a God of hope. And so I thought it might be time well spent to focus on hope and the hope that God gives us in this life and the next. If we don't have hope, we can devolve into why bother really quickly. No hope causes us to just want to give up, and we have to stay focused on hope, and not just any hope, but Christian hope. Do you have hope? Hope for yourself, hope for your family, hope for your future, hope for your church's future. Let's read a familiar story about hope and Jesus' most zealous disciple, Peter. This is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and, beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God of hope, thank you for the gift of your word. I ask that in this time and space right now, your Holy Spirit will mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that their hearts might be touched, that your word will be heard. God, speak through me, and if not through me, speak in spite of me. But let your transforming word of hope be planted in the hearts of your people. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. What is the difference between hope and wishes? I hope and I wish. Most people understand hope as wishful thinking, as in, I wish or hope something will happen. But this is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. You know, boats usually have some means of moving them, right? You don't just plop into a boat that's sitting there without at least a sail and a windy day or a motor or some oars or some human energy. I mean, you can hang off the back and kick like crazy, I suppose. But you don't just plop into a boat. The boat will move without some other means of power, but it will drift. It will drift with the current, whichever way the current is going, but you won't be able to direct it, again, unless you're hanging off, kicking like crazy. That's the difference between wishing, I wish life was better, and hoping. When you wish, there's no real power or direction or intention. Wishing is like getting into a rowboat and not using the oars and wondering why you're not getting anywhere. Hope is adding the use of the oars. When you hope, there's power and direction, because when you hope, you involve confident expectation. You involve your intention. The oars are there for a reason, to move you around the water, to get you somewhere. Hope is confident expectation plus my activity and intention working toward what I hope for. So we can wish and think, or we can hope and do and pursue. And hope makes the difference, all the difference in the world. Hope for Christians means stepping into our situation with confident expectation. Now, Peter was afraid. The disciples were afraid, and rightly so. And just like last week, how I talked about hope and despair, and that despair is part of life, and we have to name our despair to God in order to get to hope. It's the same with fear. We need to name and acknowledge our fear. Naming our fear is a necessary part of getting that power behind us, empowering our lives with hope. Peter and the disciples were filled with fear, rightly so. It was a dangerous situation. And then they saw Jesus in the midst of the storm. They see Jesus walking on water. That's not something I've ever seen. It's not something you see every day. And they see Jesus walking toward them. They're terrified. They don't recognize him, and they cry out in fear. But what does Jesus do? He identifies himself. He says, "It's me." And then he addresses their fear with a command. This is the most often used command in the Bible: "Fear not." It's the same command the angel gives to Mary when the angel comes to say, "Hey, Mary, guess what? I know that you're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby. Fear not." It's the same command the young man in white says to the women at the empty tomb: "Fear not." It's the same command the resurrected Jesus gives to the people as they leave the empty tomb: "Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not." Is a word of divine insurance in the midst of danger and fear. When there's cause to be afraid, we are commanded, "Fear not." Apparently, Peter takes Jesus at his word, because he steps out of the boat to walk on the water toward Jesus. And he discovers quickly that Jesus' words of assurance did not mean that the dangerous winds and waves would subside. He was frightened for his life once again, for good reason, and he began to sink into the turbulent sea. But Peter stepped out of that boat. We don't know if he had confident expectation, but he stepped out of the boat. We do know that he was engulfed by paralyzing fear. We do know that Jesus' voice, "Fear not," was in Peter's ear. We do know that Jesus had Peter's ear over and above the fear. It's so common, right, to have fear. I worry all the time about everything, even though that the Bible says, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't fear, fear not. I grew up with a mom who was really excellent at catastrophic thinking. Do you know what that means? That means that when we moved into a house and there was a stream in the backyard that was dry most of the time, but when it rained, it would get maybe an inch of water. My mom, I was like telling my mom about the house, "Mom, and there's a nice stream." "Oh, you know a child can drown in an inch of water." "Well, yeah, no, I'm terrified." You know, it's just that worst case scenario, no matter what. That's one of my gifts. We can get our hopes sunk by fear so easily. And that's what happened with Peter. Peter's fear materializes when he sees that wind's ferocity and he begins to sink. And danger occurs because fear had his ear. And what has your ear will transform you. It transformed his outlook. Fear, although it is sometimes helpful, I mean, it's ingrained, it's instinctual, right? Fear is put into us by our Maker to keep us alive and safe. Sometimes, if it gets too much of a hold of us, it can sink us, sink our hopes. Fear, even though it can be helpful, can hold us back. Never underestimate fear's power to make you lie to yourself and hinder you from moving toward where you want to be. Fear is not supposed to have the last word. Our Lord commands 365 times, "Fear not." We are being transformed, but not into a people of fear. Paul says in Corinthians, "And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." The expectation, the norm, the bottom line for Christians is we are being transformed into glory, into the likeness of God. We are transformed into glory by stepping into hope. Hope is the norm for us. The expectation Jesus had for Peter is that Peter would heed Jesus' statement, "Fear not," and act accordingly. That's what matters. Fear is real, but it's not a good place to make future plans from. Was watching that Jared Garantano yesterday, and he's stepping up. You know, he's got 8,000 pounds of pure muscle running at him. That's when I would let my fear take over, just so you know. But Jared Garantano doesn't make his plans based on fear of being crushed by 8,000 pounds of pure muscle running at him, threatening to crush him. He steps out with confident expectation that he is going to complete that 41-yard pass or complete that handoff and score a touchdown and beat Auburn. Thank you. Confident expectation. Hope has his ear. Whoever has your ear has your future. And yeah, fear is real, and sometimes danger threatens to keep us in fear instead of going for what we hope for. But hey, fear not. In the midst of the danger and the fear, there is peace in the presence of Christ, and there is the promise that the turbulent waters will subside. Whoever has your ear has your future, which means if you are going to be victorious in this world over fear and do what God has for you to do, you have to decide who you let influence your life. You got to make sure that you've got the right voices in your ear. If you are to live abundantly, it makes a difference who has access to your ear. It's not every voice that speaks to your situation is the right voice. If it can't bless you, get it out of your head. This is how we discern. We have to discern the spirits, discern the voices. If the voice makes you feel like your problem is greater than God's promises, you better get it out of your head. If it doesn't pray you up and encourage you up and get it out of your head. Some voices try to tell you like you're a boat with no power. That is not the voice of God. That is the enemy of God. And what do I always say? The enemies of God still hate God and they don't care for you either. Because the harder you're trying for God and to live life for God and do what God wants you to do, the more the enemy's going to ramp it up. The enemy of God will always try to keep you from getting where God wants to take you. The devil will take away the power from your boat. But with God, you are not ever adrift. It is up to you to be discerning enough to know whose voice you are putting in your ear and in your head. It makes a difference what voice is speaking into your spirit. I don't know. I relate to Peter. Everybody ought to. He's got a floundering faith. He's as zealous as the day is long. He is gung-ho for Jesus. And then the next move, he's sinking. He's, I will die for you and I will deny you. I don't know about you, but that's me every other day. I'm gung-ho for Jesus. I'm like, oh, I'm tired. What's on TV? Everybody can relate to Peter. He flounders in his faith. His faith is wobbly. It's sinking. It's one step forward, two steps drowning, having to be saved by Baywatch Jesus. In the midst of danger and fear, Peter had hope enough to step into a miracle, but has he had the right voice in his head? Jesus. And that's life. You know, we're called to have hope. In the midst of danger, we're called to have hope. In the midst of sadness and tragedy, we're called to have hope. We think that being delivered from something is about a locality. We think we got to get out of a thing to be delivered from a thing. But deliverance is not about locality. Deliverance is about mentality. Deliverance is about not being consumed by the mess. You can be in the mess, but not consumed by it. That's deliverance. That's real, confident expectation, Christian hope. The wind, the storm, the waves are always going to be present in some way, shape, or form. But hope transforms you and makes you victorious in the midst of. You got to learn to talk yourself up to hope. Talk yourself to the presence of Jesus. If nobody else has a word or a praise or an encouragement for you, you get your voice together and you keep your hope alive. Because there is peace in the presence of Jesus. And guess what we are promised? He is present in us, with us, always. Your blessed days are ahead of you. It doesn't matter how ferocious the winds, how threatening the waves. Get your voice together and tell that storm and tell that enemy that this is the day the Lord has made. Therefore, I have hope. When you focus on the voice of hope, you can't let the voice of fear frustrate your walk. Hope trumps it. Hope gets the last word. The voice of fear may be present, but it doesn't get the last word. Peter was wobbly. When your faith is wobbly, when your hope is wobbly, reach out to Baywatch Jesus because his hand is there for you. See hope. See hope in every situation. See that life is more affected by what God says about your life more than anybody else and what they say. Because we know greater is he than is in me that is he in the world. God is for us. Who can be against us? God will supply all your needs. Fear not. God will never leave you or forsake you. God will never abandon you. Nothing is too hard for God. All things are possible with God. If you are looking for hope, listen. Put the voice of God in your ear, because God can and will turn it around. Don't let the voice of failure and wobbly faith frustrate you. Keep the voice of hope alive and in your ear. Drowning doesn't take long, friends. Speak hope. Speak hope to each other. The person sitting next to you might feel like they're drowning, and you might never know it. And drowning can happen in an inch of water, you know. Doesn't take long. Keep each other going. Keep yourself going. Peter had no business being alive outside of a boat in the middle of the sea trying to walk on water. God wasn't through with him. God wanted to use him to build the church and carry this Jesus movement forward. God is not through with you. Peter is a praise report, and you are a praise report too. When you have come through your storms and your hard times, you have lived to fight another day. Give God the praise and speak God's hope into your life. When you feel like giving up or throwing in the towel or asking yourself, what's the use? I don't believe God would have brought you this far if God didn't have something more for you to do. I try to say that to myself when I get down and out and tired. God didn't bring me this far to drop me now. Keep your hope alive. Don't give up hope. God will make a way out of no way. I'm going to keep on hoping because God is in the hope business. Because of God, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Right? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is there anybody here ready to talk to yourself and keep hope alive? If you keep talking, God will bring you out, see you through, make a way out of no way. Speak peace to your storm. Speak hope into your ear. Because our job is just like Peter's, to keep this Jesus movement going. To speak hope so loud, it drowns out the voices of fear and failure in other people and in the world. Speak hope, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.
The summons.
Will you come? and is such as this unseen, and admit to what I mean in you, and you in me. Will you love the you you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Sound in you, in me. Lord, your summons echoes true in you, but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you, and you in me.
Go forth in the name of the God of hope to keep this Jesus movement going, to speak hope, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.